chapter 31, I was, you know, when you read the Bible, it's an amazing thing that happens to you. You see, you read it, but this morning I never saw how many times it talked about her hands. She seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. And the fruit of her hands. And then it says her arms and then her hands. Nothing like a mama's hand, amen? Huh? Nothing like a mother's hand. Father in heaven, I pray you'd speak to us today. And thank you for Mother's Day. And Lord, I pray we'd be blessed by the Word of God today, that you would teach us some things that we need to know. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, the writer of this, it talks about Lemuel, King Lemuel. And we all perceive that it's King Solomon. And he writes wisdom about what he had learned from his mother. She taught him precepts upon precepts. And she taught him ethics. And she taught him ideals to live by. She taught him standards which he should stand by. He taught him morals and taught him principles and rules. Taught him the law and taught him all of these by experience and practice. And when you start to read Psalm 31, you will find in first nine verses, the writer tells about the prophecies that his mother had taught him. And then from verse 10 until 31, he writes what his mother taught him. The subject is how to look and choose for a wife. That's literally what she was teaching him here. She taught him by example. She instructed him by her own ways of practice. He says, in essence, his mother impressed upon him her character and her wisdom. You just wonder, as you must have pondered on the subject of choosing a fair, godly maiden for a wife, after seeing all that his mother did, and we would assume that he must have been very timid and must maybe afraid when he was thinking about finding someone to compare to his mother. I know there's a lot of daughters-in-laws that feel that way, man. Good night. Look at his mother. She does everything perfect. Amen? Nobody says nothing when I say that. Amen. You know, I remember the first time I brought my girlfriend home to my house, and boy, my mama just fell in love with her. Just fell in love with her. And it was about an hour and a half, and my mama said, "She's the one for you, isn't she?" Well, when my mama said, who loved me, and by the way, I was the only boy in the family. In fact, mama said I was her favorite son. I was so spoiled growing up, you could smell me coming. I mean, my mama just, loved me. I mean, loved me. I mean, there's nobody loved me like my mama till I met my wife. And I brought that girl into my home, and my dad said, "Don't you let that little Norwegian girl get away from you, boy. She's a good one." And of course, we got married. And I remember the first time my mother came to our home. You know, it's different for a mother to come home, to come to the first time to her daughter's home, than a mother-in-law coming to the daughter-in-law's home. There is a difference. Oh, yeah, there's a big difference. I remember the first time my mom came, my mom's a busy little lady. She's just the sweetest thing on two wheels you ever see. And she just wants to do so much for you and just help you and everything. And so my mother-in-law started arranging some of the stuff in the cupboards. And my wife said to me, "I thought it was nice enough. I thought it was okay." I said, "Honey, we need to talk." I said, "That little lady, she's 4'11". My mom was 4'11". I said, "She will not do anything to hurt you or harm you, and she just wants to be good to you. She'll do anything she can for you." And all of a sudden, a wonderful love relationship between my mom and my wife developed. It was the most amazing thing. But boy, I'll tell you what, I was sucking air for a couple minutes there, you know. Here's a man who is going to be the king of Israel. And here's a lady who is the queen of Israel. And she is helping this young boy figure out some things about life. Thank God for mothers. Thank God for our mothers that help us figure out some things about life. Amen. Look at what he says, his exclamation. Who can find a virtuous woman? I love his conclusion. I think he must have sighed. For her price is far above rubies. He's saying, here's this lady who my mom, and he's saying, who can find a virtuous woman? How do I find something like my mom? For her price is far above rubies. Long ago, in different times, the word virtue stood for various elements of character. When the word was translated from the scriptures from the Hebrews back in the 1600s, we have the King James Version. When the English language was at its purest, the word virtue included a number of qualities. It meant trustworthiness, and it meant faithfulness and purity and industry and honesty and unselfishness and charity and judgment and social grace and wisdom and kindness and, of course, the fear of God. Who can find someone who's industrious? Who can find someone who's moral? Who can find someone with great charity and love? Who can find someone with perfect judgment? Who can find someone with social grace? Who can find someone with kindness? And who can find somebody that loves and fears God? Solomon said, if you will be diligent to find yourself a good maiden, and you will be very fortunate to get one, and if you do find one, she will be worth more to you than the most priceless gem. Her price is far above rubies. Rubies have been very precious because of their scarcity and rare beauty. Rubies today are very precious. The gem was named for its red color. The ruby comes from the Latin rubiens. And rubies are rarer than sapphires. And ruby is one of the most expensive gems in the world. In fact, they say that the large ones are rarer than the diamonds of comparable size. A few years ago, I was visiting a missionary friends of ours in England, and he took me to the Tower of London where the crown jewels are on display. I admired those beautiful red, blood-red stones and their carefully guarded cases. They sparkled and dazzled me with their light as if they were alive. I remember one of our senior trips, we went to San Francisco, and we noticed that a ruby studded bracelet in a village window, in a jewelry window. And when I saw the price, I almost thought that I shouldn't even be looking at that thing. It was so expensive. In the days of King Solomon, when he wrote this text, rubies were more precious than diamonds. And today is Mother's Day, and we pay tribute to our mothers. We pause to thank God for our mothers who are not only good, but great. Those of us who had the blessing of having a godly Christian mother are especially grateful. You who are mothers today, I'm sure that you realize afresh your grave responsibility that is upon you as being a mother. I would like to introduce you to King Solomon's mother. Her heart's desire was to get her son to see the importance of living a godly life, and so should you. And to raise to the occasion a man to choose a godly wife that he would live with her the rest of his life. First of all, she wanted her him to look for a wife that would be, first of all, trustworthy. The heart of her husband does safely trust in her so that he had no need of spoil. She wanted to make sure that she would be one who would never have a doubt of faithlessness. She would never do anything that would be unquestionable, that they would give him any wonder of her fidelity. Of course, she would never flirt with other men at market, and she would be careful on her way to the well and the salesman at her door, and she would always be true to the husband. He said, "Son, this is who I want you to live." Now, in all that teaching, she is telling him by her own life. Amen? So as you as ladies, as you as precious mothers today, some are very young mothers, and some are senior mothers. That was a good word, amen? And some are in the area of raising your little babies. And some are in the area of raising your little children, and maybe you got one, the first one, going to kindergarten this year. Maybe some of you here today have got a third or a fourth-year-old, fourth-grade child. Maybe here you got a six-year-old. And then that seventh grader. And then those wonderful teenage years. Mark Twain said, when he had a child, he said, "I think I'd put him in a barrel." And we gave him a teenager. He said, "I put the top and plug in the bunghole of it, amen." Not me. That was the greatest time of our life. Our boys are raising up. Secondly, his mother taught him the looking for a wife while he was growing up. One that lived a Christian life. One that had lived morally clean. By the grace of God, son chooses wife that would be willing to endure hardships of trials for the cause of Jesus Christ. The heart of her husband to trust in her. Why? Because of purity. How I thank God today for the memory of my Christian mother. Her purity challenged me as a youth, and I was very thought of my godly mother kept me from compromise which might have led me to grosser sins. 46 years ago, I was called to be a preacher of the gospel, and I owe everything to the Lord Jesus Christ, but I am certain that I would not be behind this pulpit this morning without the godly mother that used to stay on her knees and pray for me. I come in late at night. I hear my dad snoring. But I also heard my mother praying, whispering a prayer. "Oh, God, be with that boy. Keep him out of trouble. Dear God, help him to live for you. Dear God, you know I've given him to you." Boy, I tell you what, this whole world would be changed. We had mothers on their knees before God every night praying for their sons and their daughters. Thirdly, I would like you to notice that this mother taught her son to look for a wife while he was growing up that she would not be afraid of work. Boy, we got a lot of people afraid of work. I love work, especially when I'm paying for it. I like to watch people work, amen. King Solomon said to the mother, "She seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands." Her advice was that he considered a young lady to watch her and spend time with her and see if she's industrious. Young men choosing his life mate choose a young lady that is quality that his mother exhibited. Put her to the test. Prove her. Check it out. Good night. Some people think that it's like buying a Cracker Jack box and getting a little gift inside. You don't even know what you're getting. Are you crazy? You may buy a pig and a poke. If you're going to live with this woman for the rest of your life, you better check her out. You better see her qualities. You better check some things out. Listen, this is what you mamas are supposed to be doing to teach your boys. You plan to live with her all your life that God will lend you? See if she has a servant's heart. My poor wife. I met her at 17. I was 19. And I've seen a lot of things go on in life that I said, I don't want to be married to something like that. So I'm going to make sure. My dad said, son, I don't understand people. He says, I know the pedigree of these cattle out here, and I check them out good, and I make sure that I don't get something wrong when we breed these cattle. I'm very careful about that. He said, oh, son, you need to be careful about who you marry. My daddy told me that. Ask her if she'll go get something for you.
Yeah, get it yourself.
See ya. Wouldn't want to be ya. Ask her if she'd please take something over to a certain place. Crowd her and see if she, what she's made out of. Prove her mettle. Not out of meanness, but out of the desire to how she will perform someday. And when I'm talking about perform, I'm talking about the good kind. I'm talking about how she's going to act the rest of her life. Most girls don't like it what I'm saying today because they are so full of themselves. They will fall on their face. They will not be made to do anything. They're spoiled. They're lazy. They're full of themselves. They have no room for anyone else but them, and they want to be satisfied. And they don't really care. See, mamas, that's your job. That's your job. You're teaching these little girls these things. You're teaching your boys certain things. Who can find a virtuous woman for a priceless fire? Boys, marriage is for life. Until death do you part. You have one shot. One chance to get the right one, so you better take the best shot you got, and you better be on your A game when you choose to tie the knot. May I make a suggestion to you? Give someone the veto power. Not that they want to choose one for you, but if they really love you, they'll watch out for you. The Bible says, where no counsel is, the people fall, but in a multitude of counselors, there is safety. Find someone that loves you. May I tell you who the person that loves you the most? Your mama! Your mama loves you the best. I don't care what anybody says. She has almost went to death to deliver you. She has changed your filter and all that other stuff goes along with it. She's rocked you in the middle of the night. She prays for you. Why not give your mama the veto power? I mean, if she's a godly Christian lady, good night. Mama, what do you think about her? Well, boy, I'll tell you what. Drop that thing as a hot potato and go for the next one, amen. If mama said, I don't know about that. You know what they say, love is blind, but the neighbors ain't. Is she working? This is what I looked at. Is she working in the church nursery? He said, "What do you want to have a girl working in a church nursery?" She's caring for babies around the church. Does she carry them around? Does she care for someone else's baby? Can she babysit? Is she helping young mothers carrying out the diaper bags and the car seats off to the mother's car? Check it out. Make a list of things to be a good mother. Because someday, she'll probably be the mother of your children. Some of you got married by luck and hoping you got a good deal out of it. Let me give you a good suggestion. When you think you found the perfect prospective wife, call on her in her home some night. Slip your wallet or your wristwatch or a pin under the sofa. Next morning about 9:30, 10 o'clock, go over and get it. Ask her to let you in. Get your pin or your pocket. If she comes to the door and her face is old, and faded old house coat and her hair screwed up and pin curls, and you see her in the into the sink of the kitchen and you see her mother's dishes piled high on the hip, don't marry that lazy girl. You better get away from her as possible you can. Because that's the way life's going to be. You say, but you said her mother's dishes. No, that's her dishes. She should be helping her mama. Hey, would somebody say amen to me? I'm just trying to help you mamas. You're looking at me like a cow looking at a new gate. Come on. Life. You know what? God really is concerned about who you marry. And God is very concerned about who you mothers are. They're concerned about how you are. You say, good night. I don't know about that. It's called Practical Preaching Today. 101. Remember, favor is deceitful and beauty is vain. When I was a boy growing up, I remember a song. I'm sure Fanny Crosby didn't write it. But it goes like that. Hey, man, your wife sure is ugly. And he says, yeah, but she sure can cook. I'm not pointing out nobody. I'm just saying. You know what? The lazy woman is the biggest liability a man will ever encounter. A lazy woman is your greatest liability of your life. Oh, mamas, please teach your girls to be industrious. Teach those girls how to make bread. Teach them how to make cookies. Teach them how to make roast beef. Teach them how to do carrots. Teach them how to do peas. It used to be that the man would say, honey, can you cook? Now it's, honey, can you thaw and use a microwave? I thought that was going to be funny. I put it right there, funny. People laugh at that. This good mama also taught her son that a virtuous woman bringeth food from afar. That's a good lady. She's after the bargain. She's after the discount. She's not paying it. She's going to look for the best price for it. Amen. Here's a principal thing. Blessed is the family with a mother like that. She will not only do her husband good, but she will also do her children good also. Mamas, we live in a crazy life today. And everything we turn, it seems like it turns bad. We need to perceive that God wants us to serve Him greatly and with our children. The Bible says she perceiveth her merchandise good. When she buys something, she makes sure it's good quality, it's going to last. And it's called saving money. When she sells something, she makes sure that she sells it good. She's not a cheat. She's honest. She's not looking for something for nothing. She layeth her hand to the spindle. Her hands hold the distaff. It is said, as by an old wise man, men's work is for sun to sun, but a woman's work is
never done.
Thank you, mothers. Thank you for your tireless work to raise us stinking kids. Drag us out of bed. Teach us how to make our beds. Clean up our rooms. Teach us how to do our homework. Fifthly, his mother taught him to look for a wife that is kind is still the correct way to live. Boy, I hear some mean stuff today. Mean, vicious things. Teach your son to look for a kind woman. No hand can cool the fevered brow like a mother's hand. No hand can wipe away the tears from the cheek of a child like a mama's hand. God bless the true, loving, unselfish mother. Look at her. The Bible said she stretches out her hand to the poor. Yea, she reaches forth her hands to the needy. I do not know whether it is a part of mother's instinct, but some women seem to make room in their hearts for those who are in need. God fills this woman's heart so full of love that she will care even for the poor and needy that's not even in her home. We need some people like that today. His mother also taught him that being loving is a proper thing to do. Someone said in passing that God wanted people to feel His presence, so He presented to them a mother. There's no earthly love like mother's love. It seems as if God has ordained mother's love to give us an illustration of God's infinite love. As whom the Bible says, this is what Isaiah said, Isaiah 66:13. As one whom his father comforteth, so will I comfort you. There's an old legend. And one beautiful spring day, an angel flew from heaven and came down to the world in searching for the most beautiful thing he could find. He roamed over the fields and through the forests and village hamlets and cities. One place he saw a flower garden and said, "Oh, how lovely. These flowers are more beautiful and fragrant, more sweet than anything I've ever seen on this earth." He plucked these roses of rarest beauty and fragrance to take them back to heaven with him. He went a little farther and he saw a beautiful little baby with bright eyes, rosy cheeks, smiling to the face of his mama, and said, "The smile is the most beautiful thing I've ever seen. I'll take that too." Then he looked beyond the cradle and he saw the love of the mother pouring out like a mighty spring. And he said, "That mother's love is more beautiful than the baby's smile. I will take these other beauty mementos that visited heaven." Then with his three treasures, the roses, the baby, and the mother, he flew back to the gates of heaven. And before he went in, he decided to examine the treasures that he had found. The roses had withered. The baby's smile had turned to a frown. But the mother's love was just as lovely and beautiful as the moment he saw it. He called the other angels over to him and he said, "Here is the only thing I have found on earth that kept its fragrance all the way to heaven. It's a mother's love." You know, we many times forget how important it is to thank God for our mothers. But the last thing he said, the mother taught her son to look for a wife that had Jesus Christ as his personal Savior. You will never be a mother that you ought to be without Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. You'll never, 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 listen to me, ladies, you'll never be the mother that you could be without the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Without Christ, life is fruitless. Life will be empty and vain without Him. If you will realize that you will not go to heaven without Jesus Christ. I don't know about you, I don't know how many funerals I've preached in my 46 years of ministry. I've preached a lot of funerals for mothers. And a wonderful thing that a mother leaves for her family is that they know that she trusted Jesus Christ as her personal Savior. I don't know how many mothers' Bibles I've preached out at the funeral. I've used their Bible at the funeral. I don't know how many mothers' Bibles I've went through, and I've seen many times a lot of writing in those Bibles. You'll never be the mother you could be without being a person who accepted Christ, a personal Savior. It'd be a sad deal today that today's your last day. And you leave this old world for eternity. And your son comes up to me, or your daughter comes to me, or your grandson comes to me, or granddaughter comes to me and says, "Preacher, did Mama go to heaven? Did Mama go to heaven? Did Grandma go to heaven? And it'd be a pretty terrible thing, but I'd have to say, you know, I don't know, son. I hope so. Daughter, I hope so. I'm not sure. Wouldn't it be easier for the preacher when you'd say, preacher, I just want you to know I've asked Jesus Christ to forgive my sins, and I've asked him to come into my heart. I believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross, rose on the third day, and I know for sure it's okay. It's okay. I know for sure that Jesus is my Savior. That's the greatest gift. Mamas, listen to me. That's the greatest gift you'll ever give to your family, as they know that you got Jesus in your heart. I pray today that if you haven't, that today would be the day that you'd bow your head and close your eyes and say, dear God, I know I'm a sinner. Forgive me of all my sins. I believe you died on the cross and rose on the third day. Come into my heart and save me right now. You know what the Bible says? For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's the greatest Mother's Day gift God will ever give you and I can ever give you, that you know Jesus is Savior. Let's pray. Father in heaven.